a chapel in Rome that's dedicated, well, used to be dedicated to the French-speaking population. And the sanctuary is surrounded with three paintings dedicated to the life of Saint Matthew. One of the paintings on the side of the sanctuary is one that we've probably all seen at one point of time or another. It's the Call of Saint Matthew. Caravaggio used very dim colors in order to present the light of the shaft of light of grace that was coming through the window, through the door, as Christ calls Saint Matthew. So on one side of the painting, you have the five individuals, Saint Matthew and his companions. And on the left-hand side, you have Jesus with his finger pointing to Saint Matthew, much like the creation painting in the Sistine Chapel. And then Saint Peter is standing before the Lord. And what's interesting about the painting is that the church that had it commissioned back in the 16th century rejected it originally, because Caravaggio painted Jesus and Peter in the typical biblical robes that you would imagine he had. But then Saint Matthew and his companions are painted in regular 16th century merchant clothing, regular everyday wear. And so they didn't want it because it didn't look religious enough. But Caravaggio had that way of painting, putting regular material, regular items, through everyday life into his paintings, even if they were scriptural, in order to communicate that message that God's grace breaks into the world, right? God's grace breaks into the ordinary. That which is extraordinary comes into our midst in the ordinary days of our life. As we celebrate at Christmas, as we celebrate the birth of our Savior, as we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, the Great One, the Divine One, the King of Kings, the One who exists beyond heaven and earth, breaks into the ordinary life of every human being. And the Feast of the Holy Family, which we celebrate this morning, invites us to try to pay attention to that every day, to realize that God's presence, his extraordinary presence, manifests itself most often in the ordinary things of everyday life, in the ordinariness of our daily living. Oftentimes when we think of God, we think of the spectacular, we think of the miraculous, we think of that which attracts great attention. But yet God is very simple. God is humble. And the way that he comes to us will seem very ordinary. But within it is hidden his extraordinary presence and his grace and power. So this particular year, we hear from Luke's gospel about Jesus and Mary and Joseph going up to the temple for the feast of Passover and the finding of Jesus in the temple. You know, when we look to the nativity scene, when we look to the creche, whether in the parish church or our family home, we see its wonder, we see the awe, we see the specialness about it. But yet, the existence of the Son of God, the Word become flesh, happened in the every ordinary workaday life of Mary and Joseph, whether they were worshiping or just about their daily tasks. So Luke begins his gospel each year. In other words, year after year, Mary and Joseph fulfilled the Mosaic law. They went up to the temple to do what every good Jew was required by the law of Moses, to celebrate the Passover, to offer sacrifice. And in the midst of this yearly duty is the Son of God. In the midst of this regular religious activity, there is the Lord present among them. And then the gospel pans, if you will, and we see Jesus, who is seated among the teachers and the rabbis. And this would have been something that would have been a daily occurrence in the temple. For us, it's unique because we don't experience it for Mary and Joseph, seeing this, it would have been something very ordinary. Every day there would have been rabbis and teachers sitting in various parts of the temple, explaining the law, teaching the prophets, expounding on the wisdom literature. Then there would have been the priests and the Levites who were preparing the sacrifices to be offered in the temple. And yet in the midst of all that ordinary activity, that ordinary worship of the people of Israel, is the Son of the living God, the extraordinary one, who dwells in the midst of the ordinary daily routine of prayer prescribed by the law of Moses. And then the gospel concludes. It comes back to Jesus going down with Mary and Joseph to Nazareth. He was obedient to them. His mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and favor before God and man. We have to realize that Jesus would have helped Joseph every day in his workshop, fulfilling the orders that would have come in as a carpenter, as a woodworker in his town or village. But Jesus probably, in his hidden life, helped Our Lady with the daily household tasks. In the midst of the ordinariness of the life of the Holy Family, there is the presence of the extraordinary God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. The first reading from the book of Samuel, again we hear the prayer of Hannah, who goes daily to worship the Lord in the temple. And in that ordinary daily sacrifice and ritual of prayer, she encounters the divine presence, who answers her request, promises that she will be with child. So too in our lives, we often forget that God is there. God is in the midst of all things, whether it's work or school, whether it's the daily household tasks or chores, whether it's the obligations that bind us by our vocation. God is in the midst of all of that. And the Lord wants us to be aware more and more of his holy presence, the extraordinary presence of him who indeed became a tiny child. He became flesh, not so that he can just redeem us, but that indeed we might be aware of his presence more fully, that we might be reminded he does indeed dwell among us. Maybe two spiritual writers for our consideration on this Feast of the Holy Family, two Carmelites, St. Teresa of Avila and Blessed Lawrence of the Resurrection. St. Teresa of Avila, again living in the 1500s, 1600s, sought to teach her sisters, her fellow religious, this important lesson, that God is in the midst of their daily responsibilities. She wrote, as she founded the various monasteries throughout Spain, she said, "So my daughters, let there be no neglect of your spiritual responsibilities in your life of prayer. But when obedience calls you to exterior employments, as for example into the kitchen, amidst the pots and the dishes, remember that our Lord goes along with you to help you both in your interior and your exterior duties." What St. Teresa was telling them was God is in the midst of even your work, the most mundane work in the kitchen. One of her favorite sayings that sort of summarizes what she just said is, "God walks among the pots and pans." And it is true. And Blessed Lawrence of the Resurrection, again, living a little bit later than St. Teresa, had to learn in his life as a Carmelite to try to maintain that presence of God, which the Feast of the Holy Family reminds us that God is right there. Mary and Joseph are adoring the Son of God, even in the midst of their daily work. So Blessed Lawrence writes, "When I began my work, I said to God with filial trust, My God, since you are with me, and since I must apply myself to these duties by your command, I beg you, give me the grace to remain with you and keep you company. And he was asking that grace from the Lord, whether he was in the kitchen, whether he was in the repair shop, repairing the sandals of his brothers in the Carmelite community, no matter where he was or what he was doing, to try to maintain that presence, that sense of the presence of God in his daily life. As I shared last Sunday, when we gather for the Eucharist, the greatest of miracles occurs right before our eyes, but yet it's not tangible to our senses. That God uses ordinary bread and wine, and he allows their accidents, he allows their properties, what it tastes like, what it sees, what we look at, what it feels like, to remain. But he changes their substance into his very body, blood, soul, and divinity. Whenever we come to Mass, it is Christmas, again and again and again. There could be no greater miracle than the Eucharist, and yet it happens in the quiet and in the ordinariness of the worship of God's people, the worship of the Church, and the celebration of the sacraments. So may we in this Christmas season ask Mary and Joseph, help us, Mary and Joseph, to adore your Son more and more, to be aware of his presence in our daily lives, and to seek to keep him company.